You're about to hear a digitized message from the Lutheran Hour. All rights on the program and its copyrighted content are reserved by the International Lutheran Layman's League. Permission was granted for Concordia Theological Seminary to digitize this message. For more information on the Lutheran Hour, or for questions about special uses of this material, go to lhm.org or call 1-800-876-9880.
You get the best from God when you quit trying to get the best of Him.
Bringing Christ to the nations, the Lutheran Hour.
Lutheran Layman's League is pleased to present a recorded copy of a recent Lutheran Hour sermon by the Reverend Dr. Oswald Hoffman, regular Lutheran Hour speaker. We pray that this message will bring hope and joy to your life.
Lord God, leave us not to be trapped within ourselves. Bring us outside ourselves to life with repentance toward you and faith in your Son, Jesus Christ. Help us to break through the prison walls of our own bitterness and to come into the warm sunlight of your favor, your forbearance, your forgiveness. Give us faith in your Son, Jesus, that we may live by his saving name. Amen. One of the problems of our world is that people are so self-centered. It could just be the chief problem of the world. Irreligious people who pride themselves on their impiety or just their lack of concern about God are terribly self-centered. So are many religious people who pride themselves on their piety and look down their noses at others who do not have their particular brand of righteousness. They come first and everyone else comes second, including God. That's the story of a remarkable man in the Old Testament. His name is Jonah. He came first, and everyone else came second, including God. Jonah found out that God always has the last word. At least I hope that Jonah found out. The last word in the book of Jonah comes from God, and we're not told whether Jonah took it to heart or not. A lot of people don't. This is God's word to every one of us, that God will get along all right without our self-centered selves. But we can't get along without Him. We have got to get with Him, beyond ourselves. That's life. Anything else is the miserable little thing that people often call life, when actually it is a kind of living death. At the end of his story, Jonah was still holding out against God. He said, "I knew that you are a gracious God and merciful, slow to anger, and of great kindness, and repent you of the evil. Therefore now, O Lord, take, I beseech you, my life from me, for it is better for me to die than to live." These are the words of a very determined man, determinedly wrong. He was not as determined at the outset, when the word of the Lord came to him, saying, "Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness has come up before me." Jonah's first action was to get up and run away. He was going all the way to Tarshish at the other end of the Mediterranean. Determined to flee, he went right down to Joppa, found a ship going to Tarshish, paid the fare, got into it, and went off to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. Then came the storm. The ship was all but broken in half. The sailors were afraid, and every man cried out to his God while they cast overboard the whole cargo in order to lighten the ship. In the meantime, Jonah went down into the hold, lay down, and fell fast asleep. The captain came down to him and said, "What are you doing here, you sleeper? Get up and call upon your God. Maybe he'll think about us, and we won't die." The sailors had a different idea. They drew sticks or something like that to find out who might be the cause of the storm. Jonah drew the short one, and they asked him, "How come? What did you do to bring this evil on all of us? What do you do for a living? Where do you come from? Where are you a citizen? Who are your people?" Jonah replied, "I'm a Hebrew, and I fear the Lord, the God of heaven who made the sea and the dry land." That made the sailors even more afraid. They asked Jonah, "Why are you running away from him?" The men knew that he had fled from the presence of the Lord because he had told them. The next thought of the sailors was, "What are we going to do with you? How are we going to get this sea to calm down?" Jonah told them, "Pick me up and throw me into the water. Then the sea will be calm again. I know I am responsible for the whole business." The sailors did not take him up on that. Instead, they rowed hard to reach land, but the waves were running too high. They simply could not make any headway. With a very pious thought, the sailors prayed, "Oh, Lord, don't make us die for this man's sin, and don't hold us responsible for his death, for it is not our fault. You have sent this storm upon him for your own good reasons." With that, they picked up Jonah and threw him overboard into the raging sea. And the storm stopped. The sailor stood there in awe before God, sacrificed to him, and vowed to serve him. Then comes the event that most people have heard about. The telling of it occupies only one or two paragraphs in the whole book, which itself is only 2 pages long in my Bible. Most of those 2 paragraphs are occupied with a psalm that Jonah prayed, winding up with the vow, "I will sacrifice unto you with the voice of thanksgiving. I will pay what I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord," said Jonah. At the end of those 2 paragraphs, there is the statement, "The Lord spoke to the fish which had swallowed him, and it vomited Jonah out upon the dry land." Now comes the main part of the story. Jonah went to Nineveh following the word of the Lord, finally. It was a big city, and Jonah went into the city a whole day's journey before he began to preach. He said, 40 days, and Nineveh shall be overthrown." Now, the most remarkable thing of all happened. It's the thing that people usually forget when they talk about Jonah. He must have been some preacher. The people were moved from the greatest of them to the least of them. They repented. They believed God. They proclaimed a fast, put on sackcloth as a symbol of their repentance, and the whole population turned to God. Even the king of Nineveh got into the act. He rose from his throne, put his robe from him, put on sackcloth, and sat in ashes. He published a decree in which the lords of the land concurred. "Neither man nor beast, bird nor flock, taste anything. Let them not feed nor drink water. Let man and beast be covered with sackcloth and cry mightily unto God. Yea, let them turn every one from his evil way and from the violence that is in their hands. Who can tell if God will turn and repent and turn away from his fierce anger, that we perish not?" God was pleased. He is, as Jonah said, a gracious God, merciful, slow to anger, and of great kindness, and repents him of the evil. God forgave, and thousands were saved. God was pleased. God saw their works, that they turned from their evil ways, and God repented of the evil that he had said he would do to them. He did it not. God was pleased. Jonah exploded. He told God off. "I've always heard," he said, "that you were a gracious God and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. I'm angry, angry enough to die." He asked God to kill him so that he could escape the mess for which God was responsible. The city was to be destroyed, and he was to be the prophet of that destruction. And now God saved, and that was not the way the powerful prophet of doom had planned things. I don't know how many times I've read the book of Jonah since I was young. It's not a long book, but it's really a great book. It tells a great story. It's the story of God. It's not about Jonah, but about God. That's the way it is with the whole Bible. It's about God and how good he is. People don't like to hear about the goodness of God. Not nearly as much as they enjoy hearing about the judgment of God. People love to be told off because they know they have it coming to them. The judgment and the promise of destruction rings a bell with people. I believe they actually like to hear that God is going to get even with them, because that's the way they would act if they were God. That's the way people actually do act, trying to play God. They will get even if it kills them. The destructiveness of our self-centered humanity knows absolutely no limits. If necessary, people are willing to destroy themselves in order to get even. Salvation is not a popular cause, even when it comes from God. We want to make it on our own, and we don't want any help from anybody. We want to play the big shot, and anybody who gets in our way is going to feel the force of our wrath, or worse. That's humanity, or as the Bible often refers to it, the natural man. It's human nature to want to be first, and if possible, to stand all alone out there in our grandeur. Jonah is a first-class example of humanity, our humanity. He's a kindred spirit. Most of us feel for him. He's got some of us in him, and we've got some of him in us. He's the genuine article, the preeminently self-centered man, out to do his thing. When he can't get away from God, he will persist in doing his thing, making it look like a service to God from whom he is not able to escape. He may come around, as Jonah did, in a moment of great extremity, promising all kinds of things, and saying nice things like, salvation is of the Lord. But it all remains a matter of the head, while the heart is not touched. God is gracious, merciful, slow to anger, of great kindness. As people think, we don't have to be that way. Jonah was not. When it comes right down to it, we are not touched either unless God has got hold of our minds and hearts. Without his spirit, we don't belong to him. We do not love him as he has loved us. Not belonging to him, we do not have mercy and compassion toward others as he has compassion and mercy toward us. The great criticism our Lord had of religious people in his day was that they said and did all the right things, but their heart was far from him. They did not believe that God sent his son into the world. You don't believe in my Father, Jesus said, because you don't believe in me. Whoever does not believe in the Son, whom he can see, how can he believe in the Father whom he cannot see? I and my Father are one, said Jesus Christ. The joy of salvation is in believing. It is believing God, not just believing that he exists or that he has the power to pass judgment on the world. He certainly does exist, and he passes judgment on the world all the time. Believing in God is to trust him, to have confidence in him, to go with him in both mind and heart. It's to know God as he can be known in his Son, Jesus Christ, whom God sent into the world, that we might see how gracious and merciful he is, slow to anger, and of great kindness. That you've got to believe with all your heart and mind if you want to have life, which is life indeed. It means you've got to get outside yourself to find salvation. You will not find it inside yourself. Cut down on your vices and trim up your virtues, and you'll still be the same old person you always were. Only God can save, the God who made us and redeems us from destruction. That's the story of the whole Bible. That's what the Bible is all about. People find all kinds of things in the Bible, but they don't find anything unless they find that. Jesus said to the religious people of his time, "You search the Scriptures because you think in them you have eternal life. But it's just the Scriptures that testify of me." They wouldn't believe in him. They wouldn't go with him. They would not follow him. They would not love him. They would not take his forgiveness, forgiveness for which he died. They wouldn't have any of that because self-centered people can't get beyond themselves. God sent his Son, Jesus Christ, into the world to get us outside ourselves. As Martin Luther used to say, salvation comes entirely from outside ourselves. By the grace of God, his kindness, mercy, compassion, Jesus Christ came. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. God's Son did not spend his time feeling sorry for himself. He did not go around trying to make himself look big. His heart was as big as the world. He died in the place of everyone in the world. His life was an open book, and so was his death. He died for all. His first thought, when he was nailed to the cross, went beyond himself. He said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they are doing." He was not thinking of himself when he talked to his mother that day.
and to the criminal on his right. He did not think of himself when he said of the atonement that comes straight from the heart of God, "It's finished." God was in his eyes and ears, his mind and heart. "Father," he said, "into your hands I commend my spirit." Love took Jesus Christ along that road. Love raised him from the dead. By the glory of his Father, he was declared to be the Son of God with power. He loved and he loves. That's God. That's what the book of Jonah is all about. Jonah groused, but God loved. "Should I not spare Nineveh," said God, "that great city wherein are more than 64,000 persons that cannot discern between their right hand and their left hand, and also much cattle?" That's God. That's the way the book of Jonah ends. Is that where your book is going to end? Still holding out against God? You think for one moment that you're going to get the best of God? The great good news about God is that you get the best from him when you quit trying to get the best of him. "You have the sign of the prophet Jonah," said our Lord to those fine people who were so shut up inside themselves that they could not accept him as the God-sent Savior of the world. "You will see," he said, and they did. He was buried and 3 days later rose again. Still many of them could not believe, and many do not believe today. It is much more comfortable to crawl up in your little cocoon, to live in that prison, which is yourself. It's much easier and much more deadly. Christ is alive, my friend. He has broken down the gates of that prison. He has forgiven the sins for which you are doing your own time. Come out into the light where he is and breathe the free air of God, who is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and of great kindness, holding out to you the good gift of forgiveness and life in Jesus Christ, his Son. Get out there beyond yourself and have life with repentance toward God and faith toward the Lord Jesus Christ. Quit grousing and start growing in the grace of God and in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Beyond self, there is God. In him is life. Salvation is from the Lord. Jonah was right about that one thing. Salvation is of the Lord. One thing our friend could not see. God loves all and wants all to be saved. He wants you, and he wants you to be saved. Take that to heart, my friend. Better still, take him to your heart and live with him. Amen.